Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, but I'm also the head coach and CEO of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental, and that'll be a relevant point when I introduce my guest. Well, it's hard to believe we're already into August. I'm starting to sound like my grandmother did when I was a little kid. Where did the summer go? So July has come and gone. A big shout out, you know, to all my running friends who participated in the Capital Era Race Series. Last weekend, we had the eighth and final race of the Capital Era Race Series, the Canterbury Woodchuck Classic. We had some really good battles in some of the age groups. And again, for my listening audience who are runners, those of you that won age groups, first, second, or third, we'll send out those certificates via mail. We obviously announced the top five right at Canterbury. If you're listening to this on August 5th, on Sunday, August 6th, we have the Frank Donovan Memorial Road Race in Pittsfield. That's at 9 a.m. It's in conjunction with the Pittsfield Rotary and the Balloon Rally. And Frank is the gentleman that really got me into getting out in the community, community engagement, long before we called it corporate social responsibility. Frank was getting me out there in the community and working with the media, and then secondarily, he got me involved with road racing, first sponsoring the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, now going on 15 years when the prior sponsor backed out at the last minute, and then he got me involved with the Bill Lutie Road Race, which we just had the 50th anniversary of the Bill Lutie Road Race, which was the seventh in the Capital Area Race Series. So if you can make it to Pittsfield and you're listening to this Saturday the 5th or early morning on Sunday the 6th, there's still time to go to Pittsfield and we can have fun at the Frank Donovan Memorial 5K Road Race, and you'll meet Frank's family. But with me this week, and I mentioned it would be relevant, is Dr. Bob Urban. Bob works with me at Northeast Delta Dental for several years. He's also a clinical professor at Tufts. So, Bob, thank you for joining me this August weekend. I know that you have a very busy schedule. And tell us about your background. I know that you have been in private practice, as just mentioned, you're a professor at Tufts. But tell us your overall background, and then we'll get into today's topic.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Tom. So I was in private practice for 25 years after graduating from University of Massachusetts with a Bachelor of Arts and then a DMD degree from Tufts University in Boston. And then I did a residency at Philadelphia General Hospital, which is a Penn teaching hospital, and went into private practice for 25 years. Simultaneously with that, I've been teaching at Tufts Dental School. I just ended my 46th year there, and my title is clinical professor. Also, have become certified as a dental consultant with Northeast Delta Dental, and that's been very rewarding. Also, I'm also finally a consultant with the Commission on Dental Competency Assessments, which most dentists will remember as the NURB, but no, it's not Northeast anymore. We go all over the country, and I do about 12 of these exams throughout the country. So I'm at University of Michigan, Ohio State, NYU, places like that, usually on a monthly basis. And that's probably enough.
Well, tell us about that because, okay, so a student graduates from dental school, and I do want to talk about University of New England in a few minutes, but take any dental school. So they're really proud. It was a very moving day for me, compelling, when at the University of New England. When does the student take the exam, and then how do you evaluate them to make sure that they're, you know, safe and competent, you know, to begin their practice as a professional dentist?
Well, the CDCA actually does the evaluation of the students, and that goes on during their senior year in dental school. There's a new format that came in a few years ago called Curriculum Integrated Format, where they take the exam while they're still in school. Previous to that, they had taken the exam in June after they graduated, and if they didn't do well on the exam, they would have to wait about 6 months to actually take another exam. So now they have an opportunity to take it again before they graduate. And those grades are actually sent to each state, and the states are the ones that issue the licenses, not our examining agency. So we are actually the people that will certify that these people are competent, and then the license is issued by the individual states.
So if a dentist wants to practice in New Hampshire, he or she would get a New Hampshire license. Is there any reciprocal things with other states?
Yeah, the licensing agency that I work for, if you pass the exam, you can apply to 46 different states. There's four states that are still not in our realm, but 46 states you could apply to.
Awesome. Is my good pal, Dr. David Hedstrom, still involved?
Yes, he is. He is, and I think his son just graduated from Tufts just a couple of years ago.
Exactly. And speaking of Tufts, I just want to give a big shout-out to Bob. Bob was the driver to get me energized to set up a Northeast Delta Dental Scholarship Program for students at Tufts Dental School in Boston who plan to practice in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, and that's worked out very well. So thank you for pushing me over the years, along with Dr. Dick Dickinson, one of our Delta Dental Plan of Vermont board members. And it's always very impressive to see the Tufts graduates. They all wrote me notes, all very compelling people, and I know you actually went down there to see the ceremony. So thank you for pushing me on that.
Yeah, and thank you, Tom, from Tufts and from me for that.
That's awesome. The associate dean, I don't know what exactly his title, but Mark Gonthier, he and I go back probably 20 years, and we both said that we were going to make this eventually happen. The timing was important that it happened, but we had to wait a little bit after we made Northeast Delta Dental, made the lead donation to make possible the new dental school at the University of New England, which is in Portland, but they also have the first graduating class was May, and I did go to the hooding ceremony, and there were five or six students who will be practicing in New Hampshire, five or six in Vermont, and about 20 from Maine. So it was great to see that happen, and the overall class, I think there was like 62, so about a third of them end up staying in northern New England and hopefully fulfill their commitment in practicing in underserved areas, because basically, from Nashua to Concord, there's plenty of dentists probably, and some in Burlington, Vermont, there are plenty of dentists. In Portland, Maine, there's plenty of dentists, but there are definitely some underserved areas like in the North Country in New Hampshire and certain parts of Vermont and Maine, Augusta, for example, where there is actually a shortage of dentists, so it would be great if these students, would practice there. So let's take a time out from that and talk a little bit about amalgam fillings versus composite fillings. So for the listening audience, I'll keep it simple in English terms. The composite is those are the white fillings, and amalgam are the darker fillings that anybody my age has probably a mouthful of them. And I think let's start with making the point, I think that's a responsible point, that amalgam fillings are safe, and then take it from there.
Well, thanks, Tom. Amalgam fillings are safe. There's been a lot of controversy out there about whether or not the mercury should be banned. But the World Dental Federation, the American Dental Association, the FDA, and the U.S. Public Health Service have all deemed amalgam as safe, cost-effective, and long-lasting. So the health issues really should not come into play. It really should be the longevity and the use of the material itself.
So could you just make that point again, on the safety, because, people hear this, mercury, and you even have some, I'm sure you've been faced with the patients saying, can you take out all my amalgam fillings and put in the white fillings? That's probably not a good idea. So would you just kind of emphasize that point?
Yeah, sure. That's a really bad idea, because the mercury in the fillings is actually not mercury anymore. It becomes an amalgam. They call it a dental silver amalgam. So there are five different components to the silver amalgam. And once the mercury, which is the liquid part of the restoration, becomes incorporated in with the silver, tin, copper, and zinc, it becomes a completely different animal, and the mercury is now a different compound, and it's not just a liquid mercury that's escaping from the restoration every time you eat. So it is safe.
And the lifespan of an amalgam filling is probably over 10 years, and maybe the composite is half of that. So talk about that.
Yeah, so the research, there's different research papers on that. Amalgam, some of the latest research will last at least 12 years, composite maybe five. In my practice, I've seen amalgams last as long as 50 years in the proper mouth, in a proper setting, in the proper prevention aspects of it. I can't see composite really, and it depends what you mean by a failure of a restoration, but I've seen composites fail in 18 months or shorter. So the lifespan, it's really not comparable at all.
Now, I'll put my insurance company CEO hat on. We would love it if all of our employers, and by the way, most of our business still is through the employer. You've heard me explain this many times, but employer-sponsored benefits, both medical and dental, really have been around since World War II, when people are off to war and the people are staying behind back at the ranch and the factories supporting the war effort. They weren't given... We couldn't give them wage increases or salary increases. So what employers did was add benefits, first medical, and then in the 60s and 70s, dental. So most of our business is still employer-sponsored, although we do have retail business on the public exchange, healthcare.gov, and the private exchange, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. So we try when we, in group contracts, employer contracts, you get renewed, once a year. And, of course, we would love if they would always cover composite fillings. It adds about 2% on the premium rate. And so oftentimes what employers will do is they'll pay for the cost of the equivalent amalgam filling. We're not discouraging the use of white or composite fillings. It's just that the compensation will be based on the equivalent of the amalgam filling, which might be about, 20% less. So from an insurance perspective, round figures, the composite fillings add about 2% on the premium rates. Okay, more on that when we return with the world-famous Dr. Bob Urban. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Thank you for joining me and Dr. Bob Urban this August 5th and 6th. And again, as a reminder, if you're listening to this either on Saturday, August 5th at 9 a.m. or at Sunday, August 6th at 7 a.m., there's still time to register and go to the Frank Donovan Memorial Road Race, which is in conjunction with the Pittsfield Rotary, and that'll be at 9 a.m. at Drake Field in Pittsfield on Saturday, August 6th. Sunday, August 6th. On Saturday, August 5th, is the Beach to Beacon Road Race, which we're the secondary sponsor after TD Bank. So I will be running in that, but there's still time to do the Frank Donovan race, which is on Sunday, August 6th. Joining me this weekend again is Dr. Robert Urban, who is a clinical professor at Tufts Dental School. He also is a certified dental consultant at Northeast Delta Dental. We have several of them, including Dr. Mitch Correa, who's been on this show recently. Dr. Bob has also had a private practice for over a quarter of a century, and he's also does the exams for the newly minted students who are graduating from the various dental schools. Let's get back into the comparing and contrasting amalgam versus composites. Obviously, a lot of parents for their children look at the cosmetic side of the white filling, but there are also some downsides to the composite filling. So let's talk about that.
Well, the composite is not going to last anywhere close to what amalgam is going to last, especially in posterior areas where the beading on the restoration is terrific. What does composite bring to the table? Well, composite basically brings better cosmetics. Those cosmetics don't last, though. In a six-month span, it'll start discoloring. So sometimes your beautiful white filling becomes yellow. There's less drilling involved because you're bonding these restorations in place. They're more time-consuming to do for the doctor. They wear much quicker than amalgam. Hence, they're more costly. Insurance, as Tom mentioned before, may or may not pay for it, may defer it to an amalgam fee. They're very moisture-sensitive, and for that reason, they break down much quicker than a silver amalgam, which... silver amalgam has been around for 150 years here in this country. Some of the stuff dates back to the 1400s in China. It's easier placement. It's less costly. Greater wear resistance. It's self-sealing because after about 6 or 8 weeks, the metal actually sounds kind of gross, corrodes, but the corrosion actually seals the margins of the restoration, and that's where most restorations break down and need to be replaced, at the margins. So you get a better seal with amalgam and a much longer lifespan. So those are the pros and cons.
So amalgam sounds like it's safe and it sounds more functional and lasts longer and less expensive, whereas the composite filling has, at least probably from the patient's perspective or the parents of a younger patient's perspective, better cosmetics and less drilling. So I know we have seen in our claims data a shift. When I first started at Northeast Delta Dental, and this is on a I'm using composite now with a small c here, but on a composite basis, probably when I started in 1995, 10% of our claims data would suggest that 10% of the fillings were white filling or composite filling. Fast forward 22 years, and it's probably like 60% of the claims for fillings are composite. So there must be. Do you feel pressure as a dentist, you know, if a patient, you know, asks for the composite filling, even if you think it's, you know, in a back molar and it might be more functional with an amalgam?
Well, what I'll do with the patients is I feel like I'm not going to push something on the patient without telling them, giving them informed consent. And so for that reason, I might go over the fact that all of the facts that I just mentioned. And then if the patient says, hey, I know this is only going to last 3 or 4 years, but I still want white. It's a country now that's into cosmetics. And so I'm not going to say no and try to do the best I can with the material, but I know that the amalgam is probably a better restoration in my mind.
Well, as you say, you give them all the information, and then it's ultimately, you know, the consumer, you know, has a voice in it. So that sounds like a great process. So you've been around, you know, over 4 decades in this industry, both as a consultant and as a practicing dentist and as a professor. What are some of the trends? And let's start with the dental students themselves. I think the last time you were on the show, you mentioned that in your graduating class, it was maybe all male or pretty close to all male, and that's totally
100%.
Shifted. 100%. So tell us about the shift in that.
Yeah, so when I graduated in my class, we started with 108 students, graduated 104. They were all males. I think at the time in all four classes, out of about 400 or 500 students, I think there were 2 females. Now the classes are actually, I think the most recent class at Tufts has 53% female. And that's great. But one of the things, and without making sound sexist or anything, women have a tendency not to stay in the profession full time. So when you're graduating a woman, and I know several people that they go and have children, just like in any other profession. And so if you're graduating 100 students and you have 50 females, perhaps you get a workforce of 75, and I don't think that's unique to dentistry. I think it's actually a countrywide trend.
So it's a great profession though, because you can take a time out to have the family.
Absolutely.
So I know you almost got my my youngest daughter Gabby. She so wanted to become a dentist, she got all A's at Richmond. She was a spider. She was a Richmond spider. She just couldn't hack chemistry, Bob. If only you could got chemistry in her brain, I'd have a daughter that's a dentist. Yeah.
Well, she would have been great. I worked with her 1 or 2 summers. She was an intern here at Northeast Delta Dental, and she sat right next to me, and she had a great sense of humor. She would have been a great dentist.
She had the manual dexterity. That's something that would have thwarted me in my efforts to become a dentist. I think you really, in addition to having to being really smart and understanding science and biology and everything else. I mean,
well, the problem is you went to Harvard instead of Tufts. That's the problem.
So I had everything backwards. I was an English major at Harvard. I have a sister. I have two sisters that are physicians, so they got all the science, and I got the English stuff. But yeah, Gabby is, by the way, I know a lot of people because she has gone to road races and so forth. She's doing really well. She's in Chicago. She's turned her energies and expertise into being a really great businesswoman. So I'm really, really happy and proud of her.
She was a fun kid to be with when I was with her those couple of summers.
And she's doing great. And she last summer did the Chicago Marathon. So she's also doing some running. How about trends in general? Compared to when you started, and this is just a generalization, but it sounds like we've gone a little bit more away from sort of drilling and filling to can we save the tooth through other means. So tell us what you see in terms of the trends over the last four decades.
Well, I think prevention, fluoride, brushing, flossing, a lot of the public relations ads that you see on TV have really driven people to trying to keep their teeth. I think that over the years, dentures have kind of fallen by the wayside, what with implants and stuff. On our licensing exam, we used to have a denture setup section, and that's been eliminated, and root canal therapy has been added to that, which we didn't do when I took the exam. So keeping teeth for a long period of time, the cosmetics, things have changed a lot. Implants have changed the dental world tremendously. People actually have their own teeth now.
And that's great. And I think one of the things that we've done, this is why we do like Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. It's giving us that opportunity that Dr. Bob just referenced to educate the public on the importance of, brushing and flossing in between visits. We have a program where younger patients who are Delta Dental subscribers or their parents are, if they demonstrate that they brush and floss in between visits, they can earn tickets to Northeast Delta Dental Stadium. We give them an oral health message. Plus our program called Health Rural Wellness, or HOW, you see that on the billboard at the stadium. And many, many, and most of our employers that have Delta Dental coverage now have this program. And it's wonderful as a CEO to see this in action. It's a company we acquired called Previsor. We're branding it locally as HOW, or Health Rural Wellness. But you go in, you get your cleaning, the hygienist, he or she, as a series of brief questions, and then depending on your provider score, my score was 3. And so right there and then, she arranged for a third cleaning in the calendar year and also applied a Del fluoride varnish at the end of the visit. So to kind of see the vision work in practice, because Bob, why don't you tell people how the two seeing your dentist twice a year, the two cleanings a year, certainly it's a great benchmark, but that actually began in the 50s and 60s when companies like Colgate would say, see your dentist twice a year, which is a good number, but isn't really based on science. So that became the proxy for most dental plans, two cleanings a year. So based on evidence, some of us that have perio issues, for example, maybe you should have 3 cleanings, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if you can catch problems early, they become small problems, can be fixed with a little filling, a little bit of cleaning, things like that. You let them go and they become root canals, extractions, implants, more sophisticated treatment. Luckily, we have that treatment available now, but I certainly would rather have a little filling than have an extraction and an implant, even though that's a very viable solution to people's problems.
And I'm going to have you back to talk about implants, and Dr. Cray has presented that in the past. So final word, I all my dentist friends always tell me, remind the listening audience, a dentist, by the way, I love dentists, they're great people, but even if you go to the dentist, if you don't take care of your teeth, that is in brushing and flossing in between visits, the dentist is it's obviously great to go to the dentist, but you have to take care of your teeth In between visits. So can you emphasize that for me?
Yeah, I can't emphasize it any greater. I mean, the dentist can fix things and try to prevent things, but it's really up to you to take care of things. Things will last a lot longer if you take care of them, just like anything else, like your car or anything else. So brushing, flossing, getting your cleanings done in a timely manner is really important in alleviating bigger, more costly, and maybe uncomfortable treatments.
Great. Dr. Bob, thank you so much. We're honored to have you as a colleague at Northeast Delta Dental. Thank you for all you do. And Health Rural Wellness program that I referenced, you can go on the healthruralwellness.org website, even if you're not a Delta Dental customer, and get more information on these topics. Dr. Bob, thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
I'll see you around the campus at Delta. Tom Raffi will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.